Who can take a sunrise?
And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Don't forget, typically you can catch me with Jack at 6:20 in the morning on Mondays and also from 7 to 8 on Fridays. Neither of those are going to happen this week because of the holidays, but you can catch me Monday all day. Or not all day, all show, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll have some great guests on as well and getting you ready for certainly the holiday travels. As we were mentioning, it was great to really talk about the apprenticeship program and Tuckaway. But the thing that was really important for us to remember is that when we think about our community and we think about shopping and we think about all the things we can do to help out local businesses, the first thing we have to do is know that these local businesses exist. And I had the pleasure of doing a fundraiser a few months ago and met this next person. And they own a really wonderful shop called Enna Chocolate. And you can find out more about them by going to EnnaChocolate.com. That's EnnaChocolate.com. And yes, there is a main street in Epping. If you haven't seen it, it's cool. The storefront is so awesome. You can go over there as well. And we're pleased to be joined by Enna. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. I'm happy to be here.
Outstanding. So we wanted to do this for a while. Your voice seems to have recovered from last week.
Yes.
And then, of course, now you had a really busy week. So let's talk a little bit about Enna Chocolate. So the first thing is that when we think about this business, you were in another business as well. You still are in another business. Yeah. How did you come up with this? What, I mean, did you just wake up one morning and go, you know, we really should start a chocolate shop?
Well, I am known to have woken up many mornings in my life and thought about chocolate right off the bat. I am interested in food and culture and people, the origins of how we all come together and share food, share tastes, how these approaches to ingredients or memories, taste memories, how these develop in our culture and experience. So that's always kind of in my mind when I go out and about in the world, even at a subconscious level. But I have worked as a professional photographer with my husband for almost 20 years. And I wanted to start branching out. Weddings are our bread and butter,
mm-hmm.
and that's been a wonderful career. But I wanted to start branching out, and I decided to hit two birds with one stone because we moved up to the New Hampshire area from Boston. My husband grew up in Portsmouth, and we always knew we wanted to come back here with our kids when they're ready for school, and we did about 10 years ago. And so I wanted to meet people, get my feet in, put down roots in this community, and I also wanted to expand my photography work a little bit. So I started connecting with chefs. I thought, I'll get to know the food community, get to know some chefs in the area, and maybe I'll start doing some food photography. And yeah, long story short, here we are with chocolate. But I first volunteered with Slow Food Seacoast and Chefs Collaborative with Chef Evan Mallett and a whole crew of other really talented chefs in the Seacoast region. And I photographed an annual event they do, the Barn Dinner, which is a collaboration between 10 or 15 chefs, 10 or 15 or more local farmers. They put many courses together for a meal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a wonderful event. So I called them out of the blue and I said, hey, I'm a photographer. Can I come just be a fly on the wall and photograph this event? And out of that, I started to develop relationships with these chefs. I was hired to do a couple of projects. One of them was the Black Trumpet book for Evan Mallett at Black Trumpet. And over the course of that year, that we worked on this book together, I decided to teach myself how to make bonbons, of all things.
Oh, nice.
I thought, the holidays are coming. I need to make something for family and friends, maybe for our wedding clients. I'm going to make truffles and bonbons. I didn't know what I was getting into. But I think most people would do that. They would get chocolate, melt it, learn how to make hopefully beautiful truffles. But I got stuck with the get chocolate part.
Yeah.
I started researching online the way we do in the bath late at night, reading, do I get chocolate from Belize or Venezuela? Or no, maybe, don't they grow chocolate in Africa, Western Africa? And should it be 70%? Should it be 80%? Should I get unsweetened chocolate? And what is chocolate? What's in it? And then I fell down this rabbit hole of learning about chocolate, and I quickly abandoned making truffles. I never did become good at that because I discovered that I could get some home equipment, some small kind of MacGyvered repurposed kitchen implements, and make chocolate in my home kitchen.
Oh, nice.
And I just started doing that, and here we are five years later making chocolate with lots of machines.
How cool is that? So once again, we're talking to Anna from Anna Chocolate. You can go check them out at annachocolate.com. They're at 135 Main Street in Epping. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on this week because it's almost Christmas and inventory is flying off the shelf or is off the shelf. So we'll talk about that in a second. I love this phrase you use, Anna, and it's a bean to bar. I like that. So if someone were to go to your website, two things that stand out really quickly is, one, your logo is awesome. And second is you've achieved close to nirvana of the connection that you wanted for where you get your product from, how it gets here, and then how you present it to your clients. I thought that was such a wonderful journey that bean takes.
It is. It's a fascinating journey, and I learn so much with each origin that I work with. I'm buying beans that are produced by small farmers in different countries around the world. Cacao grows within 20 degrees of the equator all around the world. And I'm able to buy cacao that is derived from heirloom varieties, and it's very carefully tended and handled from every step in the supply chain. And that supply chain is usually two or three people relationships deep. It's the farmer
right.
to my go-between and importer who helps the farmers directly and also helps import it and store it in the U.S. and help the farmers find a market. And then to me, and then from me to my customers.
Isn't that amazing when you think about that? We think about how commerce has evolved into, quote, this global concept and how many people has to touch one piece of product before it ever gets to us. Sometimes it's thousands of people. And yet you can show the lineage of your product by just a couple hops.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yes. Yes. Can we taste some chocolate?
We can taste some chocolate.
Please.
So what we're going to, John, that's what John is waiting for. So the first thing I do want to talk about when we talk about the chocolate, so I found it interesting because for me there was milk chocolate, dark chocolate, and there's no such thing as white chocolate, people. It's not really chocolate, is it?
It is. Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
I did not bring white chocolate with me, but I make white chocolate.
Oh, perfect. So,
and I love it.
So you brought different varieties with us. So what I can tell you right now, Anna, is that we're going to run short on this segment, and you'll hang over for a little bit of the other segment as we go through the chocolate tasting.
Okay.
Oh, you can. I'm pushing here. See how I do this, John? I'm just.
I don't have anywhere to be.
You know, I just have a store. People knock it out my door. I know. I'm going to get you out of here. All right. So tell us first. So tasting, what are some of the things you tell people? Because you do tastings like people do with wine tastings. So what are some of the things you tell them to look for in the characteristics of a particular product?
Well, the first thing to observe is the visual appearance of the chocolate and the aroma. And I am sitting here smelling this chocolate because we opened it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. This room has never smelt so good.
Yeah. I wouldn't know, but that's,
you haven't met some
awesome.
Of our DJs. So. Just kidding.
I like to reassure people that they own their experience. And whether it's an unfamiliar new territory that they're exploring or something that's more familiar that they have knowledge about, either way, it's a valid experience. So when some people taste chocolate and they say, I don't like it, that's a valid response. Or when they taste it and say it's bitter or, oh, the weird, this tastes like bananas, that's also valid. Or I might taste apricots, you might taste grapes.
Yeah. And so when we do that, too, I'm glad you brought up the fact that people palate. One of the other things you suggest them, too, because sometimes people just take a really fine chocolate, which you offer, and just pop it in their mouth, and they don't think about the pairing of other things like wine or fruits and stuff like that, which will help increase the appreciation of the chocolate. So when you talk to them, do you talk about your product and what it might be paired with best?
I do. I love to encourage people to explore pairings, whether that's with a beverage or with other food. The beverages are often alcohol. Red wine comes to mind for a lot of people, but actually it pairs beautifully with beers, with different liquors, with tea, and each can complement the other in new and exciting ways. So take a sip of tea, the taste of the chocolate changes. Take a bite of chocolate, the taste of the tea changes.
And the other thing is, when we talked about this, once again, find out more, you can go to AnnaChocolate, AnnaChocolate.com, AnnaChocolate.com. We're going to take a break here in a minute as we get ready to taste. One of the things that I found interesting is that when we talk about, especially when we talk about the dark chocolates, we're now hearing more and more people talk about the health benefits of dark chocolate, especially to help reduce stress. There's certain calming factors. Of course, if you eat too much dark chocolate, you're going to be really happy and excited by the end of the day. It's fascinating, especially when you say bean to bar, how more people are looking at the homeopathic elements of dark chocolate as well, or chocolate.
Well, the bean part, the cocoa, it's actually a seed from the fruit of the cocoa pod, is 100% healthy for you. So when you look at a bar, if it says it's 100%, it should only be made with one ingredient, and that's the cocoa bean.
Cool.
And that is essentially half cocoa butter and half cocoa solids. The butter is the kind of fat that's healthy for you, good for your brain and your heart. And then the other part is essentially cocoa powder, if you were to separate those two, but they're all one in the seed. And that is full of protein, potassium, magnesium, calcium, flavonoids. It has double the flavonoids that have been identified in red wine, which is the component in wine that people say is so healthy for you.
Right.
Double that with a fine dark chocolate. And that's really good for your heart, for your
Oh, absolutely.
Health.
And I think that balance, too, is really what helps people understand and appreciate not only the wonderful taste that chocolate has, but also the health benefits as well. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. And Anna didn't know what she was getting into. She needs to get to her shop. So we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to go ahead and taste some chocolate and talk a little bit about the characteristics of those chocolates. All next on New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition. Just want to remind you, no newspaper article this week. I'll be back to writing next week. So for those of you who miss my traditional Christmas story, sorry about that. Got a little bit busy this week. But I do want to wish you a very Merry Christmas to my friends. Certainly a Happy Hanukkah. And also whatever celebration that you happen to partake with your family, please do it with joy and really ready for a wonderful new year. So Anna, let's go back and let's talk about chocolate. So before we get to the chocolate tasting, how's your inventory right before Christmas?
Well, I have five different single origins remaining, so plenty of pure, beautiful, dark chocolate for people to sample.
Nice.
I have 100%. I have 110% bars, which you might ask, how is that mathematically possible? It's 100% bar with cocoa nibs on top.
Oh, nice.
Sort of a
there we go.
Cheek nod to turning it up to 11.
Yeah, I suck at math, so I wasn't going to ask. No, I'm just kidding.
You
say 110%, I'm with you.
I do have a dark milk bar, which I hear John is a fan of.
Yeah.
And I have that here for us today. And I also have peppermint bark.
Nice.
Very good.
So,
and then, we have a couple other goodies in the shop, drinking chocolate.
So once again, for those of you out and about today, kind of panicked in a mode, you might be able to find some product, but even whatever product is still there is going to be one of the most awesome pieces of chocolate you've ever tasted in your life. It's awesome. So let's, what are we going to try first?
Okay, so the classic way to start a chocolate tasting is with 100%.
Okay, very good.
Percentage. So that's this one. You might want to bite that little piece in half.
Oh, really?
Because it's unsweetened.
Some people love it. Some people don't.
I love it.
And, see, and you want to do like with wine. You want to kind of smell it. Get that sense going. John was just popping it in his mouth.
He was ready. Take a couple chews and just keep it in the center of your tongue. You can push it against the roof of your mouth. Let it warm up. It's cold in here, so you want to give it a little extra time to start to bloom.
And so, really good. Now, that would be another nice one for us to make some hot chocolate with, a really different kind of hot chocolate.
Yeah. I love drinking unsweetened hot chocolate with a fine chocolate.
Oh, it's really good. So how do you make this?
So this, I get the beans.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fermented and dried at origin. So in this case, Honduras. And when they come to me, they're in burlap bags. I roast them in a coffee roaster. I take the husks off with a winnowing machine that cracks
really?
The winnows. And then I put the nibs, the cocoa nibs, into a granite stone wheel grinder. It looks like a giant Cuisinart. It's about 4 feet tall. And that the wheels, the granite wheels in that melanger is what it's called, crush the nibs. And the nibs will be in that machine for several days to get it really smooth. And then I pour the chocolate out and temper it into bars. And that's what it is. It's a single ingredient.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's, because a lot of times you hear about people who chocolatiers and stuff like that, they get the product already produced for them and everything like that, and it's dropped in their lap, and then they make what is considered the finished product. You're involved personally with it.
Even a chef's, really talented, diverse chefs also work with chocolate and often don't think, oh, wait, this doesn't come from a block of substance that came wrapped in plastic or paper from some European country, maybe.
Yeah.
It actually comes from a farm.
That is really cool. So we ate it raw, and it was really very good. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend that. How would I pair this? Do you have any recommendations for this?
I would put that with a scotch.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That was yummy. I'm just enjoying the mouthfeel of the...
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So this is the same origin. This is Honduras, grown by indigenous farmers in La Mosquitia, which is the largest biodiverse region on the planet outside of the Amazon. So huge jungle, no infrastructure. This one is 75%. So it's 75% cocoa nibs and 25% organic cane sugar. Mm. It probably tastes really sweet after that.
After that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good, though.
So some of the flavor notes that come out with this, once it sits in your mouth, and it they'll be reminiscent of the previous one, but that bitterness might have consumed you at first. This, with sugar added, it kind of slows down your palate so you can experience the other flavors. I noticed almond cookie, milk, chocolate milkshake, kind of that same
definitely
aftertaste.
Mm. Very good.
That is really good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I really liked the first, the 100%, though. That was just,
I love hearing that.
That's fantastic.
Well, the 100% was, I didn't give that to my team. This was the bar I gave to my team, and they went insane. But they also, they like the 80, 90% that you can get there, too.
I love it. So usually we go down in percentage. So we went from 100% to 75%, but I'm going to jump you guys back up to 80.
Okay.
And we skipped this one because it's such a different origin from Honduras. This is my 80%. Tanzania. There you go. And this one's a darker color than the Honduras, not because it's a darker percentage, but because it's a different bean. So the beans themselves have different variations in colors. Some can be very pale or even white. Some are very dark.
Nice.
That's very good. Very so different, though.
How is it different? How is it different? This is what I love to hear, especially from chefs. I'm going to put you on the spot.
It's not as sweet,
It's somewhat smoother to me. I don't know why I'm getting that.
I was going to say the opposite.
Oh, really? So there we go.
Where the other one was kind of melted, a little creamier. This one is rougher. I mean, is that?
Mm-hmm. Really?
That at least as far as the mouthfeel.
So this one has more acidity. And fruitiness.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm getting. The fruitiness is, seems smooth to me.
Yeah, so it's not unlike a wine tasting when you're tasting chocolate like this. If it comes to your mind, this tastes like leather or tobacco.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
There are no wrong answers with that.
Yeah.
Excellent, but it's really good.
If it's harsher to me, I think this is more acidic. It has a very tart fruity note, like tart cherry.
So before we do the next tasting, once again, we're talking to Enna Chocolate. You can find them at Epping, but you can also find them online. Of course, you just go to EnnaChocolate.com, EnnaChocolate.com. Really easy to search out. It's one of the first things that pops right at the top. So you take a trip every once in a while.
Yes.
So, which is great because, once again, we talk about this concept of bean to bar, which is just an awesome phrase. I'm just going to use it in general anyway.
You should.
Is this Hershey's or bean to bar? No, not really.
They are made from cocoa beans, but...
So you're trying to take a trip with people who'd like to go with you to kind of let them see the beginning of this process.
Yes. Yes. We are going to southern Belize, the Toledo district, which is the heart of the Mayan civilization, and we will spend time with Mayan farmers who are living and working today, farming cacao, doing other great things in their communities, and we will spend a week there living in the jungle. We stay in screened-in cabanas, which is awesome because we get to hear the howler monkeys at night.
Nice.
A couple times every 3 hours. All night.
Excellent.
It's awesome. I love it.
It's a reason to stay up, I guess.
Just when you're falling asleep, you think, oh, yay, the howler monkeys are out again.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
One of the howler monkeys is actually looking at your window and goes, hey, they're falling asleep. That's good.
I stayed up all night recording them on my iPhone. It's just magical.
I
love it.
There is a deadline, though.
Yes. So December 29th
is
our cutoff. We're taking a small group. We do have a few spaces left. And what we will do is we'll spend a week at Eco Lodge in southern Belize. They have beautiful gardens. They grow everything that we eat that week. And we will have 3 guided days to chocolate-themed days. We'll visit cocoa farms. We'll visit my fermentary, Maya Mountain Fermentary, which is where I source my cacao from Belize. Here's my Belize chocolate, by the way.
Oh, excellent.
And then we have 3 free days where you can choose your own adventure and do Belize jungle fun. Go river rafting or fishing, go on jungle hikes. You could go learn about indigenous plants and local food stuff. We'll visit a market, one of the village markets, on a very busy market day when people come down from the mountains and sell all sorts of stuff.
So we're almost out of time. So it was interesting. So if you do go to the shop, once again, Main Street, gorgeous storefront. And, of course, you can go online at Enna Chocolate. There's just like everything else, the supplies are somewhat limited, but there's still a lot of great product for you. The other thing is that if you panicked and you waited to the last minute to buy something, it appears to me that you might want to book this trip and give a really good Christmas present.
Well, the experiences I really wanted to give you chocolate,
and I'm going to give you chocolate. So just to summarize this last one. So this was from Belize. And what percentage is this?
That one's 72%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also fruity, not unlike the Tanzania, but sweeter.
And a lot more tropical fruits coming out on that one.
Right?
Yeah.
Very good.
That was delicious.
I like that one,
So wonderful once again. It was so nice to meet you not only today, but when we had a chance at the Chase Home fundraiser, it was kind of cool. I would love to have you come back again. We should really have you come in here with Flag Hill, and maybe we can have them bring something in and do
really
a fusion
fun.
Kit. Have you ever tried their product with your fusion kit?
I have a bottle of rum.
Is it the 6-year old?
Made with my coconuts in my shop.
Okay.
And it is delicious.
All right, we got to pair you. When Chef Zach comes in, we'll have you come in as well.
Let's do it.
And it'll be really fun. So once again, folks, if you're out and about, don't miss an opportunity to really visit a tremendous local business that really is that whole bean to bar concept I love. And of course, Enna Chocolate. Just go to EnnaChocolate.com, EnnaChocolate.com. Enna, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
It was our pleasure. John, thanks for bringing in The Apprentice and hanging out for this segment. I knew you were going to do that anyway.
Why not? It's chocolate. It's the morning. It's a perfect treat.
Outstanding. Hey, don't forget, next week we are going to be doing our wine show and our sparkling. So don't go out and spend $100 on a really expensive bottle of wine for New Year's Eve. Let us give you some great recommendations. Not cheap, good quality. And we'll talk about that all next week. And John's going to make us some apps?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
A few appetizers to go with it, too.
Outstanding.
Easy, too.
Maybe we can figure out the chocolate. Yeah. And we'll do that all next week. And do not forget, have a wonderful holiday. Drive safe, be careful, and LFOD.
This has been New Hampshire Today, Weekend Edition, with Jeff Chittister on News Radio 610 at 96.7. We'll be back next week. And don't forget to tune in to New Hampshire Today with Jack Heath, Monday morning from 6 to 9 on News Radio 610 at 96.7, New Hampshire's news, traffic, and weather station.